James Gustav Gus Speth has been called the ultimate environmental insider. For his founding roles in the Natural Resources Defense Council and the World Resources Institute, his chairing of the Council on Environmental Quality under President Jimmy Carter, and his leadership of the United Nations Development Program. He then went on to serve as Dean of Yale University's School of Forestry and Environmental Studies for 10 years. Speth currently teaches at the Vermont Law School. In recent years, he's been a critic of the large national environmental groups of which he was such an intrinsic part. Now 74 years old, Speth just published a memoir titled Angels by the River, in which he recalls his many years of activism, as well as his childhood in pre-civil rights South Carolina. He considers his 2011 arrest in front of the White House for protesting the Keystone XL pipeline as one of his proudest moments. Gus Speth was in New Haven, Connecticut on November 8th to accept the Thomas Berry Award, given jointly by Yale's School of Forestry and Divinity School. Between the Lines, Melinda Tuhu spoke with him about his view of what many environmental activists maintain is the incompatibility of laissez-faire capitalism and implementing corporate regulations necessary to protect our ecosystem and ensure the survival of life on planet Earth.
I think we have to ask ourselves now, again, afresh, what is an environmental issue? And the answer normally is, oh, well, it's air pollution and climate change, biodiversity. But what if the answer to an environmental issue is that it's any issue that really determines environmental outcomes. It's really any issue that affects whether we succeed. If you answer it that way, then you have to dig deeper and look at the root causes. And certainly our failing politics is a tremendous cause of environmental decline, perpetually a cause of environmental decline. And there's a great social inequality and insecurity in the country. Our runaway consumerism, our affluenza, our failure to really change our lifestyles, the sort of the values, the very materialistic values, and anthropocentric values, and values that focus on now and not tomorrow. These set of values that dominate in our culture, we ought to be challenging them. And so there's a whole list of things. We ought to be building new corporate types, new structures for business, public-private hybrids, for-profit, not-for-profit hybrids, all kinds of co-ops, local banking, state banks, new types of finance that have a lot more democratic governance of the way our investments are going in the country. There's just a host of big, deep changes that we need to make. So what some of us are doing is trying to create new institutions and change old institutions so that we are actually promoting a deeper systemic change in the country that can lead to basically a new economy, an economy that really does give true and honest priority to people and to place and to planet. And we're determined to keep building the strength of these institutions and these ideas to the point that we begin to get some real momentum to change the system, to move to a next system. And we don't have to know everything about it, but we need to know the general directions of change. And I think we're getting a lot of good information and ideas on that.
Throughout the book, you talked about the need for a transformative change in existing capitalism, that the capitalism we have now is just completely out of control. It's heading for, you know, wealth for fewer and fewer people and poverty for so many more. Can we transform capitalism enough that it would still be capitalism and we could have, you know, a sustainable world? Or do we really need to move to a different system? Do we even need to go down that road? Does it matter what we call it? I mean, do you think that capitalism can be reformed enough to get us through this?
Well, it depends on what you mean by capitalism. I think what we need to think about is moving dramatically beyond the rapacious capitalism that we have today. This corporate, this consumerist capitalism that we have. And, you know, that one of the ways to do that is to really have much more democratic control over where capital is spent. There may still be investors in this world of the future, but the public would be the major part of the steering about where money is spent and where money is invested. We have a system now where the banks make all the decisions with a little bit of influence from government on infrastructure and things whenever that happens. But by and large, the decisions about making investment decisions are based on high financial returns by banks. and the people who are seeking to make the investments through the banks. And we need a system where we recognize the tremendously high social and environmental returns that we could get from other investments. So we need a heavy democratic guidance for investment decisions. And that, you know, implies that we have to have effective government. We have to have a government that works. We have to have a government that's deeply democratic. So sometimes when I think about these issues, I say that we need to save our failing democracy first, because people are not going to trust government to make these big decisions if it's the government we have now. So we need government, but we're beginning to see a lot of hybrid arrangements, community investment corporations around the country, community development corporations, which are, you know, public institutions that are steering the development of their cities. So I think in the future there should be a role for the market. I think we need to take back as citizens a lot of the things that have been commodified and taken away from us as commoners. But I can see a role for the market to do certain things, but it ought to be a heavily regulated market, one that's really regulated to act in the public interest. Right now, just on environmental issues, the uncompensated damages of corporate actions, this is on a global basis, are estimated to be over a third of corporate profits. So if they really paid for the damages that they were causing, it would consume more than a third of corporate profits. So this is not a market that is now managed for, you know, current and future generations.
That was James Gustav Gus Speth, a leading environmentalist and both an architect and critic of the U.S. environmental movement. His memoir, titled Angels by the River, was recently published by Chelsea Green. Find links to Speth's writings on the urgent need to develop a new sustainable economy by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.